Hi, gorgeous Ugo. Hope you're having a beautiful day. Just hopping on really quickly to let you know that we experienced a touch of technical difficulty with this recording. Ivana's mic just didn't end up coming through, and I may sound a little unusual as well. She's going to be very quiet, but because this was such a recent profile and a live read and has so many spicy takes, as you are about to hear, we just figured we had to let it ride. So we love you and hope you enjoy.
Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Also, are we doing this live? That's what I'm assuming. That's what I assuming.
Yeah, let's do it live. Let's just go crazy.
We have enough on our plates.
We have enough on our plates, but also, I mean, it's Kendall. We've got a lot to say.
Yeah.
And it also is like 2024. We don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of data in the way we have in past episodes.
No.
Of like, so actually in January 2003, he was arrested for assault.
The stock market at that time was experiencing an all-time low.
Once again, Orlando Bloom is the sexiest man alive. 2002, 3, 4, 5.
Data, science.
No, this one feels very fresh, but I want to put our off-record conversation on record, which is about your wedding hair.
Yeah. Girls, we are 9 weeks out. I have to go apply for a marriage license. I have to go to Santa Barbara and, like, do the stuff where you apply for it. There is so much happening. And then the two weddings. It's all coming to a head. But it's all going fine. We have a little to-do list of all the little things I've forgotten. Forgot to think about like a bridal bouquet. Forgot to think about like a couple things where I was like, oh.
Flowers, the key.
Yeah.
The key ingredient.
Thankfully, we have a dear, dear, dear friend doing our flowers. Al, thank you so much once again. But I just wanted a very specific type of flower that's totally not in season for my bridal bouquet. Lilies of the Valleys, do you know them?
Oh,
the
my
cute
God.
Little girls.
The cat killer?
Yeah. All lilies, I know. Exactly. The cat killers. That's what I wanted.
You're really sending a message on this day.
I know. So all the details are in play, but the hair is coming forward because I'm approaching my makeup trial.
So is it normal to create a deck? I say this because you were just showing me a deck offline.
All the brides that I know have made decks.
Okay.
But I also only know like Capricorn brides.
Right.
Our dear friend Abby, I should show you her deck. Her deck makes my deck look like nothing. Look like I'm a messy little bitch who doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
She had like shot by shot, like this is what I need here. This is the map of the location and how long it will take us to go from this photo point to this photo point to this photo point. It is like a work of art completely that could only be done by a Capricorn.
She's hired a graphic designer. They've done multiple rounds.
It's also all of it is in her wedding color scheme. It's like I have looked to her very much as like get organized because it helps. It helps things.
What has this taught you about event planning?
Honestly, that it's not for me.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's the biggest hurdle in a way is that we don't really consider how brides have to take on like a career that is not natural to them, that is not theirs.
No.
Which is the role of event planner. And like, it's stressful planning a fucking housewarming.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the many different details from the tablecloths to the chairs to, like, the shuttles.
Do we have enough cups?
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Community, fostering an environment of community, I feel very confident in. That I'm like, totally sign me up, love to do it, we'll do it any day of the week. It is the little details that I'm not interested in. Mm. The cups, but what's the timing on this? And, like, you know, give yourself enough time to like walk to the bathroom. Like my brain doesn't work that way. I know things will run behind, ahead. And
I think it also puts into full focus the close friends you have, like the people you can ask or call on for favors versus like
I don't want to say filler. But, you know, the kind of the external circles that will be guests of the wedding, but you would never want to
involve them.
Never want to, you know, pull off an eyelash around them. You are perfect and in just like a plastic sealed Barbie form around them.
Exactly.
And it's like, I think it's almost like when you plan a birthday trip or something and you're like, okay, I've got these friends that like I need to be there, and like who is going to round it out? Yeah. And like having that consideration, like going back and forth, almost doing like an audit on like who you have gathered into your bosom at this point in your life. Mm-hmm. It's also really confronting. Like it's a lot is coming up.
A lot. And I think it's also very much about a vibe. It's like there are people that I absolutely love that wouldn't necessarily mix well with like other groups in my life.
The alchemy of the friends.
And it is such an alchemy.
I think about it constantly. Yeah. I think about it constantly.
And if you're the organizer, it's your responsibility, mm-hmm. really. And you could accidentally alienate people.
I started more recently on birthdays having different celebrations with different pockets of friends rather than having the one big dinner.
Yeah.
I've had one big successful dinner in my life. And I don't know if that will ever happen to me again. It's so easy to create an environment where everyone's just like, so like, what do you do? And like, and which area do you live? Sorry. And like, you immediately feel like there's a disconnect.
Yeah. It's like, this is going horribly.
Yeah.
I recently have been seeing videos of people saying like, I will never go to a big birthday dinner again as a guest. It's like, if like, I'm happy to take you out on your birthday, don't invite me to your big dinner.
I know. I'd way rather have the one-on-one connection.
I agree.
I had to apologize to a friend of the pod after I attended her birthday dinner and was seated on, and it was like beautiful. It was like such a nice event, but I was seated next to someone who was like talking to me about how journalism has like gone down the drain, and she is someone who's been interviewed a lot, and now she's getting email questions, and she's like, what happened to real journalism? And
my jaw's on the ground.
I was like, this is really not the hill to die on around me. And also in general, I don't think you should really like call out people who are severely underpaid for not getting on like an hour and a half phone call with you when you're one of five sources or whatever. I don't know.
Like, why aren't poor people better dressed?
But I couldn't help myself. I like had to be like, well, so actually, if you realize we're getting, you know, $250 to $300 a story, and that story requires 16 hours of work, you understand why you try and minimize that as much as possible to get well paid in other areas of professional life. And I text the birthday girl the next morning, and I was like, I feel like I came in too hot. And she was like, no. She needed to hear it. And I was like, good. But it was a birthday dinner situation where I was like, oh no, it's a runaway train.
Oh my God.
The train's left the station. I'm like, I've come in too hot. I don't have my happy smile in plastered position. I've cracked the veneer.
Oh my God. Which is what the profile today promised us, is that we were going to see someone crack a veneer, but no.
Those videos are tightly locked in.
They're tightly locked in. And that's just a little teaser before we get into it. But what is your inspiration? I have mine. For once in my life, my goddamn life, I have mine ready to go.
I feel like you need to start then.
Okay. So I started a new job. I'm back in the service industry. I'm holding a little tray.
You told me last episode that we couldn't talk about this.
Oh no, I can't name any names. No,
I know, but I said like, can you not name the like restaurant, the establishment?
Can't.
No, but could you just talk generally? And you said, no, I've signed an NDA.
Oh, I just can't talk about that. It was a very specific thing of like the details.
Oh,
of,
okay,
like,
okay.
Things that happen, people that come, like I can't say anything. But what I can say is that yesterday I impromptu signed up for a like staff taco making competition. I had been hearing my managers talk about how that they wanted to do a taco making competition where the chef was gonna surprise us with a protein or whatever, and then we were tasked to make a taco in 40 minutes. And
40 minutes seems generous to compile a taco.
You would think. Three tacos for one. And we were allowed to use anything in the kitchen other than lobster and caviar. And it was like a little, our own little Chopped back in the back of the house that we were just going to do.
Are the chefs judging?
Yes. Yeah. The executive chef was going to judge, and the sous chef, and then like the manager of the establishment. And I had been hearing them talk about how there wasn't enough people signed up, and so they couldn't do it. They had to like push it back, and they were like, please guys, like sign up. Like, it could be really fun. Like, is anybody willing to do this? And I was just like, oh my God, I'll do it. And then in that same moment, a few other people signed up, and then suddenly we had enough people to like make it happen in a couple hours. I had prepped nothing at all.
You did it yesterday?
I did it yesterday.
Oh my God.
I did it yesterday. And I had prepped nothing at all. I realized people had like saved recipes and things and like prepared. Someone came in with like materials to make their own tortillas. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, like, so they're not providing you the protein in the sense of it's not like a cooked protein.
No, a raw protein.
Oh, just, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, what's it going to take? A bit of shrimp, a bit of cilantro, and you're good to go. I've built my own taco. Okay. No, so you're cooking it from
raw
scratch.
Raw protein, nothing. Like, everything is from scratch. And so I was frantic, and I was like, but I felt it was fun. I was having fun in there. I got to cook on the line, which I never did. Absolutely charred my hands. And
Kami.
I know. No, really, it was
the bear. And
me screaming like sharp knife behind, like hot on the line, madness. I won.
What?
There were two line chefs.
What was the protein? Like, take us to
shrimp.
Okay, good.
I sort of like dry rubbed it in chipotle chili.
Nice.
And some garlic, some lime zest.
Nice.
Then I made a citrus slaw. Caracara oranges, mango, jalapeno, cilantro, all like kind of like quick pickled in some lime juice.
Yeah.
And so I put that on top. I butter poached the shrimp. So
how like, do you know how to do that? What does that mean? You just it's like fried
you,
in
you,
butter?
You, yeah, like pan sear it in a ton of butter. Okay. And it only takes like 3 minutes for shrimp to be cooked.
Yeah.
And that's really the biggest thing that I was so fearful of, was overcooking it. And it was in like a garlic butter sauce. And then I charred the tortillas on the grill, like over the open fire, and then lined it with some chipotle mayo, and then shrimp, the citrus slaw, some cilantro on top, and then a squeeze of lime. And I won. I won the competition. I won this little cooler filled with a bunch of junk food.
What?
And it felt absolutely incredible. The executive chef like pulled me aside after to be like, I was extremely impressed with like the flavor of your tacos.
Wow.
And I've earned respect in the workplace in a way that I never have in the past.
Yeah. I think that has just fast-tracked you to being a member of the family.
Yeah. I've been fast-tracked. And I can't tell you, I was riding high for hours after.
Oh.
Because it was the greatest shock. Like, I was a last-minute participant. There were actual cooks, like, in the competition.
Dude.
It felt incredible. It felt absolutely incredible.
Wow. Okay, that is riding high.
Yeah, I feel it. And I just really, I didn't realize how much I had missed the service industry and all the little, like, quirks and hilarious, like, characters. And just, like, it's good. It's good to be back home.
It's so quirky. There's nothing like it.
No.
It is so, we've talked about this before. It's so familial.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's because it centers around the concept of like eating and how fundamental that is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what is it that creates this like almost enmeshment just straight out of the gate?
I know. I think it is. And I think it's just because it's also like high pay, like fast paced, high stress at times.
Yeah.
That you just like immediately bond and everyone's helping each other in a way that like, I think in the offices that I've worked in, it's like people just let you flounder.
Yeah, totally.
There's really no reason to assist when you don't have to.
Yeah. You're just really like in the mix from the outset.
Yeah.
Speaking of in the mix.
Yeah.
I have been in the mix this past week.
Yeah.
I've been in New York, which brings me to my inspiration. Pop culture.
Oh my, amazing.
I received a text from a friend who was like, I am back in pop culture in a way that I haven't been in years. I am so invested. I am just all, you know, all about it all of a sudden. And that's truly how I feel. I was in New York not for the Met Gala, but during the Met Gala. So every celebrity you could think of was in town at the same time. And I was just having these kind of experiences that happened in tandem with, honestly, my primary inspiration, which is the Drake Kendrick beef.
I know.
Talk about a return to the home. That is how I feel.
Yeah.
I have never felt so alive. I am reinvigorated. I am watching Charlemagne bar by bar breakdowns on YouTube. I am glued to Genius. I am just obsessed with every element of it. On last Saturday night, I was at a bar with a few kind of friends, and a gal pal was like to me, she said something, and I was like, well, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the Drake Kendrick beef. And she goes, no, I don't know. And I became that meme of the boyfriend that's literally like, an A minor because he's a pedophile. He's saying he's a pedophile. I'm like spitting in her face, and she's like, oh my God, amazing. Like, take you down the sip of a drink. Like, I was like, I'm off the deep end. Like, I am red stringing this bitch with like deep cut references. I have obviously had my own run in with Drake and his team, and that came off the back of his last beef, which was with Pusha T. So it feels very like fresh and real, and I have almost been anticipating something like this coming, and the fact that it's Kendrick to do it, I mean, these are our two boys. Like, we're back in 2013 all over again. It's Lana riding on the fucking motorcycle. We are in it. Mm-hmm. We are back to the roots. And like, honestly, like, hip hop has fallen off in such a way, and we kind of address this in many different kind of music episodes, but the way that it's taken a turn from obviously hip hop to house music to country, like, we're seeing the tides shift and shift and shift again. And we haven't seen hip hop take a main stage like this in such a long time. Mm-hmm. And it is just so inspiring. But pop culture in general, I mean, I went to a surprise Dua Lipa show in Times Square.
What? I didn't even know about this.
Oh my God. I unfortunately wore my new Gucci heels, my favorite purchase of my time in New York, my kind of only purchase, and regrettable. It was pouring rain.
No.
Chris had to piggyback me.
No.
But Dua showed up the night after her SNL performance, and it was really go, go, give us nothing. Like three songs of her being like, who knows this one? And everyone's like, not a soul. Like, no one's listened to this record yet. No one's had the time.
Yeah.
So people kind of swaying in the rain, hoods up.
Oh my God.
And she was doing her best, God bless her, to really rally the troops. But the general kind of critique I've heard about this album has been like, it is a little bit of go, go, give us nothing. Like, this girl loves a vacanza in Mallorca, and that is the only place to listen to this album. It's, I know.
I am going to be honest right now.
Okay, tell me.
I did not know that she had a new album out. And
No one did.
My instinct was to lie right now to keep up and be like, yeah, the album is so silly.
Iconic. Like,
but I have to be honest, I really didn't know about this.
Honestly, I was in New York and I was like, I'm going to this thing on Sunday. And a lot of friends had the same reaction. They're like, what's she up to at the moment? And I was like, well, she's actually releasing an album tomorrow. Yeah. But just the energy of New York in general.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. I was having insane run-ins with people, just people texting me from my past from 5 years ago being like, hey, this is crazy, but did I just see you on Orchard Street? Or like, what the hell? Were you in Hudson Yards? Like, I looked out of my office building and there you were. Like, really wild.
It's a small town.
It's such a small town, man. I always forget it every time.
I'm like running into people in tiny coffee shops there. Like, oh my God, you come here for Shirley Temples too?
There's no goddamn way that we are seeing someone in Silver Lake. And if they see you, it's like, no, you didn't.
No.
You did not see me and I did not see you. We are ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
Like, we're not stopping to kiki. Chris was like, God, you just like always have to be prepared. I ran into a guy I dated. He was like, what are you up? Yeah. He knows. He was like, we were like, what are you up to? He was like, I'm just like hopping around to the next like free wine store opening event down Mott Street. I just like,
oh my God,
just like seeking out the function at all times. I was like, wow, as much as things change, they really do stay the same. I did kind of trigger someone a little bit. I met this girl at an event And she was like, so tell me about LA. Like, how do you find it? Like, why did you make the move? Like, all this kind of stuff. And
everyone always asks that.
Everyone always asks.
Why did you come to LA?
They need to, like, you need to justify why you left New York to New Yorkers. They cannot, like, it's, like, too hard to wrap your head around, which I totally understand. When you're in it, it's, like, the toxic relationship, the abusive boyfriend, that when he texts, like, hey, you look pretty, you're like, well, here I go again.
Yeah.
And I'm back in it. But she was clearly, like, kind of distressed about my response, which was, like, I was like, you know, in New York, I really felt like I was constantly, like, running against the clock. I always had something to do. I had somewhere to go, a place to be. But I was like, I realized that I was running, standing still. Like, I was running in place. I had no real progression. I was just kind of, like, jumping from one event to that, to the next, to a story. And, like, there was no forward motion. And she went, damn. I might have to call my mom and talk about that. And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, God. I was like, this was applicable to me and me alone. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know your journey. Like, your truth is, could be different to mine. But yeah, it was, like, amazing to be there. This is all to say, when I was leaving this Dua Lipa show, walking through Times Square, I was with five gays, and just we're like powering through in the way that they do. And these girls chased after me and said, hi, like, and then they went like, oh, and then they went like, I'm so sorry. Like, it was a very quick kind of progression of emotions. And then they were just like, do you get a lot that you look like Lana Del Rey?
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know what? It's so funny. Like, I used to get it, you know, a lot, like 10 years ago. I don't really anymore. And they were like, she almost fainted. Like, she almost passed out. We literally thought that you were her and you were walking through, and I had my hood up, which is very, like, with a New York sweater on, very, like, Lana coded. She would wear the local merch. And it was just coming off our Lana episode, it was too weird and too real.
Unbelievable. I feel like that, I mean, I can't think of a better compliment.
Totally. Like, it was such a compliment and so weird, especially when she's having this, like, renaissance to, like, be put back there.
Yeah.
But also the fervor of these girls, like, I've had people say it to me in passing, like, you know who it is? It's like Lana. Like, that's her. It was, they truly thought it was like they had seen a ghost.
Oh my God.
They were like, I literally was like, I was like hyperventilating. They were like, you are so lucky. Oh. Like, you are so lucky. They're like, I'm like her biggest fan. And you were just so lucky to, like, look like her. Like, I wish, they said, I wish I was you. And I was like, I don't know if, I don't know. I don't know. It was really wild. And I don't think Chris has, like, ever experienced, like, I've told him in the past, like, yeah, I used to get this quite often. And sometimes I still see it, like, myself.
Oh,
but,
yeah, I see it. I totally see it.
But I've never had a reaction like that. Like,
no. That's also, I mean, what freedom there is there, because you and I never approaching Chase Crawford in the gym. Never will we. Imagine approaching like that, like a breathless kind of a run.
Yeah, run. It's so, oh, I wish, like, I endeavor. The amount of times I've seen Chase Crawford, three, maybe four. The amount of times I've seen Wade from Heart of Dixie, if you know, you know. Countless.
I need to rewatch that show.
Oh, it's so good.
Starting immediately.
But every time I'm just like, I will never say a word. Us meeting Ian
Somerhalder.
And just like, you know, not a word said. A nod.
A nod of the chin. Nothing more.
It's like, we've got to drop the ego. Like, we can't live like this in this town anymore.
We treat celebrities like old enemies.
We do. like ex-boyfriends.
Like, avoiding, where you're like,
you're like, can you believe Ian Somerhalder is here? Like, fuck.
Avoiding eye contact.
He's everywhere. Yeah. I go, can I get a break? It is that.
Yeah, it is.
You know what? I think it's because I've heard some horror stories. A friend said to me the other day, like, I'm never going to like meet a hero again. I don't want to talk to them. Like, he's going to see David Sedaris speak. And he was like, he is signing books, but I just like don't want to do it because I don't want to meet another hero. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you've had some good run-ins. And he was like, really? You remember Jerry Seinfeld? Remember Jerry Seinfeld, Beatrice? Who all but said to him, fuck you. Like,
oh my God.
He approached him in a coffee shop and said, hey, just so you know, like, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. It totally informed my perception on comedy. Like, didn't ask for a photo, nothing. And Jerry was just like, hey, bro, like, I'm really just trying to have a coffee. Can you, like, kind of fuck off? Yeah. God. I mean, he's notoriously very mean.
Yeah. And dated a child, famously.
Wait, what?
Jerry Seinfeld, didn't he date, like, a 13-year-old girl? Debuted. I swear to God.
Really?
I swear to God. I'm fact-checking now.
Okay, that's something I haven't heard that got brushed under the rug.
Yeah, a 17-year-old high school student.
No.
Met then 38-year-old Jerry Seinfeld in a public park.
What? Just like the Drake pedophilia stuff. Yeah. No, wait.
That's them.
Oh, no.
Terrible. Terrible.
Okay, and she has the biggest tits imaginable.
Yeah.
Like, you can see where he was going with that.
Yeah.
Whoa. No, the Drake stuff, I mean, that's been rumored for so long. The Millie Bobby Brown relationship. Mm-hmm. Has been a point of contention for many moons, but seeing all the resurface red carpet interviews where seeing like the online detectives who have been realizing that they were texting from the time she was like 12, 13.
Yeah. Has she said anything?
No. And I don't think she ever will, but I'm like dying to know.
Yeah.
I'm dying just to wait for the nature of that relationship for sure.
Yeah.
But like Chris was asking me, he was like, is there any normal context like for a grown man to take, like he was like mentor, like coach, like we were trying to think something of outside of relatives where that would make sense. And even beyond the making sense of it, it's like, why would you want to?
Yeah.
If you, Ivana, right now was like, I have to talk to a 12-year-old, like, yeah. LOL. Like it just.
Outside of like happy birthday. How are your finals? But even that's too much.
Cousins, yeah. Right? And it's like, that's a lot of labor
to
try and maintain that chat. You're so mature for your age. Haha.
No, don't
turn 18. Haha. You're so cute.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It's the way that Kendrick has doubled down so hard.
Yeah.
That's his one stick. That's the wound that he just keeps pressing. All I know is that the labels will be losing their mind.
Yeah.
The labels will be like, shut this down immediately.
I wonder if Drake will ever be able to come back from it.
I think he would be if he were a nicer man.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one in his corner being like, what?
Yeah.
Like, up and arms, like,
so true.
The taxidermy monkey come on!
No.
I think it's just like, he has famously just been, and we've talked about this on our Drake episode. Actually, go back and listen to this in this context, because all I've been thinking about is how much we harped on about the fact that he seemed more mature at 25 when he did that GQ story than he is now at, 38?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has not evolved. He's just kind of collected, like, younger and younger people around him. Like, it's like, yeah, what is a grown man doing hanging out with, like, the little yachties of it all?
Yeah. Whoa.
Have you listened to Not Like Us, the latest diss track?
I haven't listened to that one.
Ivana.
I will.
It proves Kendrick's Pulitzer. Like, it is, he goes into a tangent about the Atlanta slave trade and then calls out about how Atlanta was just this absolute mecca of money making and how Drake coming down from Canada to Atlanta is like basically mining for cash. So he's like, you called on Future to get the club, you called on Young Thug because you needed the slime, you called on 21 Savage for the street cred, you hit Lil Baby when you wanted the lingo, 2 Chainz said you're cool but he lied, you not a colleague, you're a fucking colonizer.
I have full body chills.
That line,
whoa.
You're not a colleague, you're a colonizer. I mean.
No, he is, I mean, a poet.
And whoa. I've never been just like prouder to be on the West Coast. Like it feels like LA has just rallied around him.
Yeah.
Listening to Charlamagne just be like, you may think LA is pretty people and like lots of surgery. In reality, like, motherfuckers are real out there. Mm-hmm. Like, you make it there, you can make it anywhere, because they will cut throats and step on necks. So, and he's like, and that's what Kendrick's saying. He's like, I dare you. I dare you to land your plane in this city. And like,
oh my God.
Oh!
Well, perfect segue. Our profile subject today is also an LA native.
Yes. Yes, she is.
From a slightly different area. Calabasas, in fact.
She's a mad kid.
Yeah.
From a good city.
From a good city. We're, of course, talking about Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
And
I need a preface that I am saying mad because she sees herself that way.
Yeah.
She sees herself as like this strange, crazy gal who couldn't keep it together in Calabasas.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm going against form here and okay. starting with the reception first. But okay. it's because this profile is very current. It came out 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of recording.
Quick turnaround for us.
Very quick turnaround. But we felt we had to do it because it's really circulating in the ether. It was just the Met Gala. And it's sort of this moment. I mean, when is the Kardashian family not trending? But it just felt like we'd be remiss not to talk about this. And when this profile first came out, I first read the coverage of it where everyone was like, oh my God, Kendall Jenner, like, getting real with Vogue for her cover. And it's like the subject, the headline is Kendall Jenner is in her feelings. And I was really expecting sort of like, okay, wow, like we have something, we've blown the lid off this thing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have something more akin, I would say, to her proactive commercial where many years ago at this point, we got a teaser from Chris and the crew that yeah. like Kendall was coming out with something huge.
Yeah.
In a couple of days.
She was going to be the most vulnerable she's ever been. Yeah. She was going to talk about something so incredibly personal. I think a lot of people assumed it was a pregnancy announcement at the time, actually. It was that yeah. hyped.
Yeah. Or like, you know, an eating disorder. Like something where it's like, oh, like I'm coming forward to talk about something deep, deep inside of me. And what it ended up being was that she revealed that she has acne, like sometimes, that she gets pimples and
yeah.
she struggled with her skin in the past, and she would be announcing her
proactive campaign.
Proactive campaign.
Yes, yes.
Yep. And this feels similarly in that all of the coverage suggested that there was going to be this sort of, you know, unveiling of who Kendall Jenner really is, what's really been going on with her, what's how it's been. I mean, she isn't. It makes sense that she would be on the cover of magazines. She's the most highly paid model in the industry 6 years running.
Yeah. 6 years running is really the
and
clincher.
I would say that's newsworthy.
100%.
6 years, you are the top of the top of the top of the game. That includes Kate Moss. That includes Naomi Campbell. That includes Bella Hadid.
Yeah. I'm going to say something mean.
Oh my God.
The more I think about this profile, the worse it gets. Because of how many missed opportunities there are. And I'm sure this writer who we've covered before, and not totally favorably when we did him the last time, but I'm sure like he had to send over approved questions.
Oh, for
I'm sure. But how many things we could have got into. The Tupac t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
Astro World, the on and off relationships.
Yeah, Devin Booker.
Devin Booker to Bad Bunny, their likeness?
Yeah.
Question mark? Like, just like the Hailey Bieber, like the Justin Bieber relationship, only for your best friend to marry the man.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, famous friendships in general, operating at that level.
No, I think there was a full
like a call.
No, and he says like that her personal life is not on the table.
Totally. But a lot of this was professional. Like yeah. a lot of this was professional.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had so many controversies at so many yeah. different points. And there are so many Kardashian conspiracies in general that he kind of could have gotten into, had her go on the record and clear up. We could have talked about like Caitlyn. The thing is like to say the personal is not available is insane because they have made careers out of their personal life. And just because Kendall didn't choose that, she's still a willing participant of the show at this point. The personal is always on the table.
Yeah.
It just has to be because of the direction they've taken.
I wonder really where it is, like what link in the chain, because it seems that because of her high stature in the world of high fashion, but also at a place like Vogue, like she is frequently featured in Vogue campaigns. She is a Vogue favorite, beloved by Vogue.
Yeah.
And I just think that there is almost, I think that they almost can't go there where they would push on the, like, how did you feel, you know, now X many years out from, you know, Caitlyn's coming out. How do you feel now about it? Or like, where do you stand on trans issues in this country right now as young trans kids are being attacked left and right?
Yeah. And I'm not asking for the political from Kendall. Yeah. Like, no. I don't need Pepsi, to weigh in. It's Pepsi. Another great one. Yeah. I just like, she's just been in the public eye for too long and been too quiet for this kind of like, I mean, this is the most beautiful shoot I have ever seen. Yeah, this is undoubtedly the best she's ever looked. This is an ad for the age of 28, if anything. Like, everything is a dream. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you're going to give her this much, like, she's definitely a girl who a Vogue cover remains a privilege. Like, it's not, she's not just like, ugh, I have to do it. You can tell she wants this. So it's like, if we're going to give you this much coverage, we're going to send you to, I don't know, where is she? In the Bahamas? Mexico, wherever. Like, you have to give us something in return. And it just feels really insane that this is what it is.
She didn't give.
Okay, I'm sorry that I'm jumping ahead.
No. And here we are. So, Rob Haskell, as you said before, we've covered, he has profiled in Vogue, like, everyone. Every famous woman, from Cardi B to Michelle Obama to Serena Williams to Cara Delevingne. Just, like, anyone who is an A-lister, Rob Haskell has covered in Vogue in sort of, like, an astonishing way.
Yes, and we did his Selena Gomez profile. That went kind of viral-ish at the time and is remembered by writers because he referenced her tiny waist when he tied an apron around it. So that was like the pullout in that moment where it felt a little bit leery. Mm-hmm. I don't know if his sexuality, I'm not going to speculate. He's interviewed so many women. I'm like wondering if he's gay. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's like, why would a straight man be called upon again and again and again to relate to the most powerful woman on the planet? And do we want to give a woman a shot, maybe? Vogue, Anna, looking at you. But no, I mean, who's to say? But that was like a real memorable pullout from that profile overall. And here we are again with another kind of young, beautiful ingenue type.
Yeah.
With Rob at the helm.
I know. And I feel like with that, we dive in.
I mean, yeah.
So this is how the profile opens. At first glance, there was nothing atypical about the photos Kendall Jenner shared following her New Year's trip to Barbados. Of string bikinis and gauzy dresses, palm trees in silhouette against sunsets, wine glasses clanking, fireworks popping. But if you were searching for a dissonant note, you might find it in the copy of The Year of Magical Thinking, Joan Didion's wrenching 2005 memoir of grief and loss, splayed on the green canvas of Jenner's Sun Lounger. Somebody said, damn, that's a beach read for you. That's a beach read for you. Jenner recalls, I would read a few pages on the sand, and then my friends would come out and they'd be like, take a shot. So we're starting in an interesting place. You know.
Also, to photograph a book is asking for trouble in this climate. I think.
It also is well known and on the record that a lot of the books that celebrities read in public are like curated, or like that they have curators to curate their libraries for their Architectural Digest shoots. It's like.
there's always some sort of like visual synchronicity between the color of the background and the color of the book.
Yeah, they're aware they're being photographed also. They're aware it's probably going to make it into the shot. And this is not to say that I don't think that Kendall read My Year of Magical Thinking. It's a fantastic book, a really beautiful meditation on grief and the way we say goodbye. That said, it's like...
Yeah, it's not light reading is the implication here, but also for her to say that, like, she takes in a few pages before taking a shot. I don't know. I don't really know the message here. Is it balance? Yeah, is it balance?
It's balance. I also think that the message is here, sort of the message that she has been carefully crafting, which is just that, like, underneath this beautiful exterior, there's a world of pain and anxiety. And her first pull quote sort of touch on that. She says, it's kind of interesting that we're wired to not think about death all the time. And yet we don't know the concept of never ending. We can't visualize a never ending universe, but at the same time, nothing scares me more than the end of something. I'm so bad at goodbyes. She catches herself and starts to laugh. What better defense against the dark than humor? These are the thoughts that creep into my mind. I can't let myself get too deep into them, or else I spiral. And
I mean, it sounds like a woman with a lot of time on her hands is how I think. There's a reason why college students think the way they do. There's a reason why, like, if I say in quotation, the so-called like working class, like, aren't philosophizing the way that like a certain different wealth bracket is. And it's because like there's just not the time in the day. Like the focus is survival, getting to the next like meal, paying the next bill. Like there's that being able to like wax lyrical about never ending time just like isn't really on the agenda for the day.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, I think that it's amazing to have like deep thinkers like this, and we need them for society to expand and move forward fundamentally. But also, yeah, the salon type energy of Kendall Jenner and the lack of awareness that is what she's doing is, I think it's always like a little bit tough to stomach.
And it's just, you know, you and I think we can preface this by saying, take mental health very seriously. You and I, even I would say personally, struggle with anxiety at various points. We are two girls who are acquainted with anxiety.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the most interesting thing about us.
No.
I think that it's just something that honestly usually stops us from achieving.
It's the worst thing about us.
It's the worst thing about us.
It's so annoying.
It's like the root of like, of any bad days usually.
Yeah, or bad decisions.
Yeah, or bad decisions or like stressful moments or whatever.
It's or like, things you don't like about yourself that you've done.
Exactly.
Bad behavior, everything. That's what it all comes back to.
And it's clear that she struggles. She also says about herself, I'm a negative thinker. That's my problem. I'm always worrying about something that never happens, which like, you know, is the whole thing about anxiety is just like the worry. And it doesn't even matter really what the outcome is. And this has played out before this profile, long before this profile. Kendall Jenner, in the same way that she came out as having acne, came out to say like, I have anxiety. It's sort of been her whole plot point on the show, both Keeping Up with the Kardashians and now the newly rebooted The Kardashians.
Yeah.
Sort of where she comes in is to say like, I'm really anxious about Paris Fashion Week. Like, I'm really anxious about traveling. Like, I'm having a lot of anxiety right now.
Yeah.
And then when she's not doing that, she's like, I am trying out hyperbaric chambers now. Yes. And like, me and Haley are getting NAD IV drips because I've heard great things.
And the trailer for the new season is her being like, I feel like all I talk about on here is my anxiety. And I need to like, I promise you guys I'm a fun hang.
Yeah.
I believe her. I'm sure, like, she's such a fun hang. I'm totally ambivalent about Kendall Jenner. Like, I really feel...
I actually kind of like her.
Yeah, I like her.
I think she's beautiful.
Yeah, I think she's beautiful. I loved what she wore to the Met Gala. I think she won it. I really do. I think she's probably a really nice gal. What I've heard from people around town is she has kind of, like, a mean girl energy, which she's also, like, addressed and maybe that's like totally just her boundaries and defense mechanism and anxiety showing, right? Making manifest. It's just like, I don't know if like she hasn't been paired with someone who can really get into the nitty gritty with her. So this is the thing, we're never getting what feels like an unfiltered, unvarnished version. And it seems like she is trying to offer that. Like she says, there's a quote here that's like, there's no reason for me to not be honest. So it's like, okay, well, can we like be honest then for a sec? Can we just like drop it all? Can we take away the Joan Didion of it all and just like get down to brass tacks here? And that seems to be what's missing. And I think the reason it is, and this is my pullout sentence that I shared with you before we hopped on, it's because this is the type of writing that she's paired with. The sky is blue. The sky is a blue that occurs in Los Angeles only after the rain has rinsed the atmosphere of all man-made assaults. This is how Rob describes the weather when he's sitting with Kendall Jenner in her home. And it's... that's a beautiful line.
Yeah.
It's incredibly verbose and maybe not necessary here. And like there are profiles that are written so florally like this, but somehow this like doesn't quite hit because it also feels kind of pseudo intellectual in the way. And I know I'm like coming for the fucking throat of these people. I'm getting the most real I ever have on this part, but it's like, it's too much. It's like, we need to take away the blue sky and the man-made assaults. Like, we just want to get real in a person who is just like undeniably beautiful. And I think that's also what hit so hard about her Vogue Beauty Secrets recently. It was seeing her forehead lines. She was the most like happy-go-lucky, vivacious version that we'd ever seen. And I just like...
I think also the reason it even pops up to us is because there's such a high-low between the prose and the quotes. The prose are very high. And as you said, like, beautiful language, interesting imagery. And her quotes are literally like, I'm just trying to chill.
Yes. Yeah.
In quotes, like, that will come later. And so I think that they make each other worse. Or like, not worse, but just like...
Yeah.
The difference is highlighted when you pair them right next to each other.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Yeah, you're totally right. It's incongruent.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I do think it's interesting that she sort of admits here that in past interviews, she is talking about her problems in the past tense of like, you know, last season I dealt with anxiety before shows. And here it's a moment where the anxiety is happening now. She's in sort of a self-destructive spiral right now, which isn't so self-destructive. She kind of describes it as like she's sitting home alone more than usual.
But this is tough. I mean, she says like, I haven't been myself and my friends see it. I'm not going to sit here and act like everything's perfect. That's life. I'm always going to be in and out of those feelings. This to me is like unquestionably personal.
Yeah.
If her personal life is off limits, then this shouldn't have come up. Why is there not further exploration of this? Why is there not, what is really going on? Like, tell what. So you say your friends haven't been yourself. How so?
Mm-hmm.
How have you been?
I think that what it is like, it's like, as long as her personal life is on the table, as long as it's only about her and her, like, no personal relationships can be explored here. No romantic relationships, no friendships, like clearly very protective of all of that. Not even really her sisters. That's not up for grabs. Like, she gives us like a little, like, you know, Chloe inspired me when I first got on social media, but like that's
the
thing you could say.
Yeah.
So I just think that the only thing that's up for exploration is her hobbies.
Yeah.
Her businesses, kind of. And just like what's going on in her brain right now to the level that she's comfortable with it being mass.
Yeah, maybe like I'm being too hard here on the writer for not probing deeper. And he does say like, look, like she knows better than to talk about like a boyfriend or a breakup or what's the source of the anxiety. I think what I feel like I'm missing is like, when you say you haven't been yourself, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like? You don't have to tell me it's because of your Bad Bunny breakup. Like, just what is like, tell me kind of who you are then and now and like how you've evolved. And I mean, she does get into her set and return, which I've never seen committed to print.
I know. And the, you know, she says, I'm a stressor and a control freak by nature. I'll thank my mom for that one.
Yeah. So she goes, I'm 28 now. I think I'm in my set and return. And then Rob explains for the reader, for the astrologically uninclined, Saturn, which revolves around the sun every 29.5 years, is a planet of wisdom and personal responsibility. So a set and return involves the shaking off of external influences such as parents, teachers, bosses, and becoming superintendent of one's own life. She says, I'm so tired emotionally, but I think it's good. It's almost like I'm purging something for my 30s. That's my theory. That was what I believe to be the greatest quote in this piece.
Yeah, I agree.
That should have been the last quote of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that quote.
And it's true. It's like something we've discussed.
Yeah.
We're right in that same, you know, age range. We have talked ad nauseum about 27 being a low point.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and she's right. Like, she's actually right. And this is like what I want to hear from her.
Yeah, I agree. I want more of the Saturn return.
I know.
And what it's all looked like. But again, I guess it's like, you can't talk about that unless you talk about like, I just got broken up with, or I just broke up with someone. It's like all Rob and all anyone can do is just dance around the things that she's comfortable discussing.
Right. And he is dancing. Like, he is tap jitterbugging all over the show.
I know. And we do get some fun, like, secondary interviews around it. Marc Jacobs is quoted, because we go back in time a bit. We're now, today, this year, wherever time frame we're in, she's been a model for 10 years.
Yeah.
She started when she was, like, 16, 17, 18, around there, with, like, little campaigns with Kylie at the beginning. Forever 21 campaign, a cover of American Cheerleader and Teen Prom. And when she landed Marc Jacobs' 2014 show, it was sort of a big thing because...
Yeah, she thinks it was her debut.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously that led to many, many more runway shows after. And she's had like a very storied career, walked every runway that matters, from Chanel to Givenchy to, I mean, to everything. So she thought when she booked Marc Jacobs, like, oh my God, if this is all I ever do, I'm happy with that. And here... they're inserting sort of a, like, caveat of, like, you might think that the reason she booked this is because of the Kardashian name. But, in fact, Marc Jacobs was weary of this. He didn't want a personality. He wanted, like, an anonymous model to wear his clothes well. And his approach was very much, like, I'm not swayed by her family's celebrity.
Yeah. Do you know what I was thinking? Is during this time, she was so interesting looking. During the Marc Jacobs, like her early career before like nose job. It's like really taught me something, I think, because now she is so incredibly picture perfect societal standard of beauty. And like, and she was then too, but there was something a little bit edgy.
Yeah. And just weird.
And weird. And like, that is, I think, what, you know, agents, designers would have seen in her back then.
Yeah.
You know, of course she was gangly and like 6 foot tall, and that goes a long way. But like, something in her face was like really interesting. And that Marc Jacobs show was like so memorable. Yeah. She wears clothes so well.
Yes, she does. She does. Yeah. The other thing is like, she is good at it. It's not.
Yeah.
I don't think all of it is on the back of her family's success. And I mean, all the people that she idolizes, the, you know, Christy Turlington, the other like huge models, they also all had something a little imperfect or funny or interesting or weird about them too. And that's like sort of what makes a supermodel versus an editorial, you know, like, you look beautiful in an Anthropology catalog.
It's interesting also to always hear how models have their model. Like, every model has her girl, where she was like, that's mine. And for the Kendall Jenner, it was Chrissy Turlington.
Yeah.
I absolutely obsess. And it's someone that I don't really think about, obviously one of the supers, but I'm like, there's the Claudia Schiffer, there's Cindy Crawford, there's Kate Moss. But she talks about or references a serenity in Christy Turlington's face that really like brings her a calmness, which I find so wild to see that in someone who does what you do and be like, that's, I just feel at peace.
Yeah. It's like looking at art.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I know. And also, like, Chrissy Turlington, I think for me is like an incredible model, but not that memorable because she's so perfectly beautiful and all her pictures were picture perfect. But yeah. That is kind of what Kendall is striving for.
Yes. Yes, exactly. 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 And so he sort of gets into the history of like the model as celebrity, the celebrity as model, and like how Cara Delevingne was maybe one of the biggest who sort of was a model, but then blew up outside of being a model as well.
Tumblr queen.
Yeah. Tumblr queen. Oh my God.
The eyebrows, the absolute lasso of those eyebrows around society.
Everyone filling them in. And so now we have a lot. We have Kendall, we have Kaia Gerber, we have Gigi Hadid, we have Bella Hadid. And these are people that they're models, but also every time they step out of their homes, we have photos of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the photo, as I look Kendall Jenner up on the news today, it is Kendall and Kylie step out in Vegas to promote both of their dueling
liquor brands.
Liquor brands, Sprinter and 818.
How would you feel about that as a sister, as an older sister, if you had a successful alcohol brand and then your sister just came out with a seltzer? I think it also is that Kylie's business ventures have felt so haphazard. Like, I'm like, girl, I've never seen you with a seltzer in your hand in your life.
No,
like,
no.
So what do you make of that?
I'm sure it was like hilarious little conversation. I mean, as an older sister, I feel like I would half expect it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's only a matter of time
before she comes for me.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, they occupy kind of the same space. They're both like in the grocery stores.
Yeah. And well, I mean, one's vodka. Like that's the departure. It's like, well, I made it different. Mine's vodka. I wasn't going to make a tequila seltzer.
No.
But if I was Kendall, I would have released a tequila seltzer by now, an 818 seltzer.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, her carrying around her little eight-shaped bottle as a purse. I mean, we've seen it.
We've seen it. It's done now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right.
So I'm sure, like,
it's coming. It's on its way.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, I would have just wanted to get in first with that. Maybe I'm too competitive.
I know. It is interesting. I do think that the two of them seem genuinely close as sisters. Like, more close than the others.
Yeah.
But they also seem to have the same ethos when it comes to the show, as, like, filming is not our priority. Like, it's not... We have our other things.
We didn't sign up for this.
We didn't sign up for this, which they really didn't. I mean, Kendall was 11. Kylie was 8.
Yeah. And there's an element of them, of seeing them on the show, where they're just too media trained. Like, they actually shouldn't be on it because they're not good talent. They are beautiful girls and we are fascinated by them, but they're not good talent. So screen time is kind of wasted on them. And it's like, we should just keep it to the original three who are like going to give us... Go, give us something. Like, give us anything.
I know. And they do.
It's funny being in my Vanderpump vortex the way that I am right now. And it just makes you realize how fucking terrible the Kardashians has become.
I know.
Because you're like, this is just so sterile.
Yeah, sanitized.
Yeah, we're seeing human nature in its rawest form in Vanderpump. And I just, like, the Kardashians can't even keep up. No pun intended.
No. It could not possibly give us. Because they all have something to lose now. And the young cast of Vanderpump at the beginning, they had nothing to lose.
Yeah. And I remember you saying that the setups of Kendall and Kylie in the Kardashians feel so just... tight and like so calculated in every way, like her teaching her to drive and stuff like that. It just felt so inorganic that it was like, it fully takes you out of the experience. Like, it takes you away from this is a show I can vacuum the house to like, okay, I actually need to turn it off. I'm kind of done. Like, I've reached my limit because you're just
been watching.
I know. Well, it's coming back.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's never a show I even look up from my phone while it's on.
Which really tells you everything.
I know.
Versus Vanderpump, you can't look away.
Oh, no.
You know that I was at Jax's bar in the Valley last night.
What?
Yes, he has one too.
What? I know he has one, but what on earth were you doing there?
We went because we've been watching The Valley, which...
Oh, I hear it's good.
It's incredible. It's devastating.
It's just in the sense of... the drama, the scale of the drama?
The scale of the drama is just like, it's like couples, the worst couples in the world, all slowly divorcing in front of your eyes and all with so much resent towards each other. It like seeps from the screen.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Oh my God. It's good reality TV, which the Kardashians is just not there anymore.
No. And the way that, like, they've grown up, like, to, I also am so excited to see people at that stage of life, like early 40s and not having it all together, I think is really fun. Yeah. And honestly, healthy and helpful.
Yes.
To the viewer, because we've been told, like, your life, your drama, your ups and downs end at 35.
Yeah. Yeah, you are, really.
You're done.
Fully baked.
You're done.
Friend group locked in. Yeah. Ring on the finger.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
Oh my God, which is so not the case. They're all living in these like heinous condos in Studio City and just hating their lives. Hating their lives still.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I can't wait.
I know. But a big part of the reason that Kendall doesn't ever really get real is because of her anxiety. She talks about, and I mean, we saw this in the early, and I wonder how much the show contributed, and like, it's like a chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah.
She says, I was an emotional kid, always in my feelings and my head. I freaked myself out a bit. And she would like go up to Chris and basically say like, I can't breathe. And later learn that those were panic attacks that she was experiencing.
Yeah. Doctors just couldn't. Didn't have anything to say other than like she's clean healthy.
Yeah, and fashion was a way of like getting out of her shell a bit because it's a very social job. She's like interacting with photographers and stylists, and she talks about how like she, her friendships have become a really integral and beautiful part of her life, that she still finds herself standing at the edge of a conversation at a big social event, but now she has this incredible friend group. And she just, like, did not have that as a kid. Kylie was way more natural when it came to, like, talking to people and having friends and doing the whole thing. And she was, like, having heart palpitations in a corner and really, really, really anxious. Now, she has built a formidable arsenal of, in defense of her well-being, as Rob writes. Deep breathing, distraction, meditation, journaling, weekly psychotherapy, and periodic consultations with spiritual healers. It's been 2 years since her last panic attack, which is really good.
That's great.
I've had a panic attack more recently than that.
And this is where Hailey Bieber comes in.
Yes.
Right on time.
I know.
So, I mean, pretty crazy secondary sources for this interview. Yeah. Like, you can't really discount that. It's unbelievable that they got Hailey to comment. But Hailey says, Kendall is someone who really cares about growing and knowing herself better and going deeper with herself. I really respect that about her. We're not stingy with each other when it comes to sharing the stuff we've done or learned or tried, whether that's cold plunges or saunas. A really cool naturopath, a new skincare product or supplement, a trainer or somebody who does sound baths. It's nice to know that it's nice when your friend is taking care of herself as you are, and we share a little black book of wellness contacts.
Nice.
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 Nice. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. You and I being like, you sound like you need my sound bath guy.
Yeah.
Get him over here. Stressed about your two weddings?
I know. Let's get some IVs about it. Let's get some IVs about it.
Take a load off with the dung.
Yeah, I know. I need it. I need a sound bath ASAP.
Have you ever had one? You obviously. Yeah. Do you connect with them?
I mean, it's nice to be on the ground. It's nice. It's nice. You know?
It is nice to be lying flat.
It is. For 45 minutes, like nothing else that you can do.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, in some ways, I do need to be physically restrained in order to participate in wellness. Like,
it is, as you know, my panic attacks, they get on the massage table.
Yeah.
Honestly, me at a nail salon these days, I'm about to lose it. Really? Like, I'm about to lose my mind. The restlessness is reaching a new height.
No, it's like, it's a forced meditation.
It is.
There is also the hot yoga studio that I go to. They have a thing where you can't leave the room. They're like, do not leave the room in the middle of class. Like, do your best to stay.
That sounds illegal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the door can open. It's not like they lock you in. But because I know it's one of the rules, I'm like way more likely to just like make it all the way through. So same with a sound bath. It's like, I don't know when it ends. I don't know where to get up and leave. It'd be really loud and it would mess up other people's sound baths. Yeah. So I stay. So it helps in that way.
I just have so many experiences in wellness context where I'm like, I cannot take another minute.
Yeah.
I got a facial in New York.
Oh my God.
It was great, but a similar experience where I was like, I'm about to lose it. Yeah. It doesn't bode well.
No. It's not great.
I know.
It's okay. It's okay.
Maybe I need to befriend a Bieber to...
Yeah, really learn.
Come back to Earth.
Yeah.
They'll teach me how to get back to your roots and get, you know, streamline your thinking.
Yeah.
They've got it all figured out.
Yeah. Something that I will take away from this profile to maybe put in our commandments is that advice that someone gave to Kendall, which I did really like, where someone once told her that anxiety cannot exist in gratitude.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, okay.
I like that too.
I like that. I'll borrow that.
For sure.
Which is true. Yeah, you can't. Like, you can't do two things at the same time.
No. I think that's a really good takeaway.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, one of the best wellness practices is the gratitude journaling, like 3 things a day.
Yeah, I agree.
Not that I do it.
No, of course not that I do
it. I'm grateful to have the limbs to do so if I should decide to.
Yes, yeah. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for...
healthy pets.
Healthy pets.
Yeah, about that all the time.
I know. Grateful for the little homes that we live in.
Yep.
With little outdoor spaces.
Yep.
For the summertime that we're about to use.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good.
That feels good. That's enough. You don't want to go deeper than that.
Oh, no. I'm not trying to.
Then we'd be getting into...
Yeah. No, and...
A territory that Rob cannot go.
I know. That I think Kendall doesn't let... I think it's all horses, which we're now going to get around to.
Oh, my God.
Where I just...
I need to just apologize to the Uggos if this feels really...
I know.
Long, arduous, and boring.
Is it? I can't tell.
It's because it is... Yeah. It is, dude.
No, we're skipping ahead. We're skipping way ahead.
Well, no. I'm just... This is just to say that...
No, of course.
The quotes are incredibly long. We talked about this going in. The big paragraphs of text where it's like really could have done with a sharp trim. So, I mean, some of these quotes literally say the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, we come back to this idea of her being like... I think I'm one of the luckiest girls in the world and I appreciate everyone who's decided to follow me, but I also feel so regular. So we get that nuance, which we've heard mm-hmm. before, but so much of it is what we've heard before. Like she talks about wellness again, like moving, getting my blood flowing. When I'm struggling, I like know that I should be doing these helpful things. Like choosing to sit in bed is setting myself up for failure. Like it's the same thing. And when we get into horses, which is where you're going now.
Yeah.
We talk about horses again and again for the longest time.
So long. And it's all just like, you know, I love to ride as a kid and like so happy to ride now. Like great to not be on my phone. Great excuse to get outside. Like
I loved this as a kid. And I'm literally repeating what you're saying because this is the next quote. I loved this as a kid and it feels nostalgic to do something you loved as a kid. I tell people to do what they loved as a kid. I told Hailey Bieber to do ballet because she was a ballerina and loved that as a kid. So now, as much as it's about getting off my phone, it's about doing what I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, that goes on for
so
500 words.
Yeah, at least.
It ends with, there are so many big, scary, bad things to deal with when you're an adult. As a kid, if you've told me I couldn't go ride, it was the end of the world.
It's also, and I know that it's also such an expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it tells you immediately.
The echelon.
Yeah.
It's like someone being like, so where do you winter?
Yeah, exactly.
You go to Banff?
Yeah. Of like every ski season, like where do you get your passes? Mm-hmm. Are you a Vail or are you?
Yeah. What's your mountain?
Yeah. It's like, oh. And
yeah.
We've learned something.
I know.
Mean, obviously, we're not surprised that the Kardashians grew up with wealth, like famous for it, in fact.
Yeah. It's just access to just a different echelon of the outdoors.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. It's like you have access to nature in a way many people, you know, are thrilled by a green space.
Yeah.
They love a nearby park, maybe with a pickleball court. like, you don't, you're not breeding your own foals.
Yeah. No. No.
It is crazy. It is wild that there's no acknowledgement of that, but also I think we would be just as annoyed by, like, and I understand how privileged that is.
No, we would be annoyed by that too. And also, like, in Vogue, equestrian interests are par of the course. Like, it's like, all good. We know what's going on.
I think it's a prerequisite to get a cover.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is that do you ride? Yeah, do you ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any show jumping experience?
Yeah.
If not,
even just one season. Bronze.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
No, it's true. It's true. She does get into here the competition with sisters.
I know. I was gonna say she addresses that she has never thought of her career as a competition, and that's thanks to her awesome sisters.
That can't be true. That cannot be true.
Like, I call it there.
No, I mean, I can name times that I felt competitive with my sister and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
If we so much as looked at the same extracurricular, it was bad news.
Yeah. Mostly I just hated when my mom would dress us all in matching outfits.
Yeah.
That's I really didn't like. That's like the time that I was most like, I'm not like you. I don't want to be in the same dress as them. They're small.
Where are my combat boots?
I'm grown and elegant.
Wait, that is an incredible segue for her next quote. Kris Jenner comes in here because she's talking about Kendall's early entree into modeling, where Kris Jenner, if we're talking about privilege, hired a internationally renowned fashion photographer to come over and, like, hang with Kendall when she expressed any interest in getting into the industry.
Perfect.
And Kris is like, you know, like, I just, like, Kendall is just always going to, like, go to the beat of her own drum. When I hired this photographer, I basically was like, oh, like, go put on your prettiest dress and a bow and then come down and, like, dazzle him. And instead, Kendall was literally just like, descending the steps in skinny jeans and high heels, and Kris goes, and that was that. Kendall's gonna do Kendall. And it's like, that's a gal who can't be tamed. That is a gal who is committed.
She's crazy.
She's want to do anything at any time. Yeah. Like, you cannot pin this girl down.
It's so funny also when you compare this to, like, Julia Fox. It's like, do you, like, the spectrum of just sort of, like, stories of young women being sort of, like, their own person or, like, going to the beat of their own drum. And it's, like, skinny jeans are not one of the items on the list.
No, it's, like, do you recall those videos that they did that they posted to Tumblr and stuff? Their lyrics videos?
No. No.
Wait, Kendall and Kylie's, like, lyrics mouthing videos?
No, I can't recall.
Wait.
Let the court know.
They did a lyric, like, lip sync video to Taylor Swift. Oh my God, I need to find it. Better Than Revenge. Obviously, we can play one second of this, but dude, are you not familiar with?
Oh. Now go stand in the corner and think about what you did.
This is going wild at the
because this is real. This is actually girlhood.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, everyone did this. This was the cool. This was the most fun you could have on a day. Yeah. On a Friday afternoon. And this feels real to me. No, I'm surprised this hasn't been scrubbed from the face of the earth.
The editing is supreme.
Yeah.
Like, they slow-mo'd that dirt kick.
Yeah. I love it. And the outfits are real.
But no, I jumped a little bit ahead. She gets into, like, the realities of launching her business, 818 Tequila, which is her baby. And now she is able to kind of say no to modeling jobs because she has this capacity to be a female founder, and that takes precedence. Stop laughing.
I'm not.
I'm being serious.
I know. I know.
You shaking your head in just slow motion. But she feels relieved by the fact that once you were able to like age out of modeling, kind of like an athlete, and now she's like, okay, like look at Cindy, look at, oh, sorry, let me quote, look at hot ass Cindy Crawford and hot ass Christy Turlington. That's still as gorgeous as ever and having fun with it. Maria Carla Boscono is fucking bomb. She's never looked better. And I think that's only exciting for me and empowering for me to see women older who are smashing it.
See, this is what I mean when I think the like writing is incongruent.
Yeah.
Because it's like listening to an old man hear a young person talk about how like something is so fire. It's like it doesn't sound right.
I know.
But both are right. Technically, both are fine.
I wish we knew anything more about Rob so we could just like really understand. But I think this is the thing. She almost gets like fucked by the setup. Like it's kind of like it. That's what it is. I mean, you asked me if you think he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
And I do not know because he almost lets her hang herself with her words and she's not even saying anything.
Yeah. And I think that's, the quotes have to be long because there's not much else to talk about with her that would be on the record. That would be on the list of approved topics. That would be, you know, Kris Jenner endorsed.
Yeah.
So I just think that all there is to do is just to allow her to go long on horseback riding.
Sometimes I think of Kris Jenner's assistant, Matthew, and I just pour one out.
Yeah.
The hardest working man in the business.
No, truly. I can't imagine. And that is a job that's like 24/9.
Yes. The Christmas gifts alone.
Yeah.
The
like, I'm sure he's starting now. For the Christmas gift.
Oh, he is. He is in Santa's workshop constructing those
building never
miniature houses. Yes. Those doll houses that she gifted every one of the girls.
Oh my God. I know.
Imagine being like, where am I going to put this, Mom? This Christmas themed dollhouse?
I met a girl at a party who is the heiress of the Solving Bakery.
Wow.
Where the whole Kardashian family gets their gingerbread houses for every holiday season.
See, like, that's the kind of connections you want to have.
Exactly.
You want me coming from baking stock?
Yeah.
As you know?
I know.
It's like, that's top tier.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be, like, the heir to a lord. No. I don't need to be Kendall Roy.
No.
I want the baking, the crumbs. I want the bread.
Yeah.
From that industry. Yeah. I mean, speaking of being heir and sons, he asked her about wanting to have kids. And she said that she once wanted to give birth by 27.
That's such a child's, like, conception. It's like when you're playing the little game with the paper. What is it called? Cootie catcher.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to have 9 kids.
I do feel like this, I wonder when this interview happened, because this can't age well with the fact that, okay, when did this come out? Straight up. When did this come out?
May 9th.
May 9th, which was, what, that's a Friday?
Yeah.
That's a Thursday? So it came out the same day as Hailey Bieber's pregnancy announcement at 27? The same day?
Oh my God.
When Kendall Jenner quite literally says, I'm enjoying my freedom. I, like, am
Seem
loving.
Way too young to be
a mom. I'm way too young to be a mom. Like, I am ripe for adventure. She says, now that I'm past that, I feel I'm still so young. I'm enjoying my kidless freedom. And now she's older than her best friend having her first child.
Wow. That's true.
She texts her like, I didn't mean it. I just had to say something.
Yeah. We've all been there. You just doing the same thing after the birthday party, like came in too hot.
Yeah. My bad, man. God.
I know. And then, I mean, we're making our way to the end here.
Are we at the end?
We're at the end.
It's never ending. Just like her commentary on time.
I know. We can conceptualize never ending.
That's the callback for the books.
I know.
Her being like, I just like, if you really think about something never ending, you spiral. And that's me reading this.
No, I know. It's. We'll close it out and then we'll give final thoughts.
Okay.
So this is how it ends. So Rob sets it up here to basically say,
When will your run on the reality show end?
Yeah, how much longer
right.
will she be going? She says, it's not my biggest cup of tea, which it's not my biggest.
It's not my biggest cup of tea.
Like, it's not my cup of tea is like, it's not
that's the saying.
Not my biggest, like.
I have many cups of tea.
And this is not my biggest.
I drink out of various containers when it comes to tea, but I like to go the smaller route sometimes.
Yeah. And to be honest, she continues, I've never felt very comfortable filming. I just feel I'm not good at it. She's grateful for the family time that the show creates, but if it were up to her, off-duty hours would simply be spent hanging at home, whether that means getting in bed early with a TV show or inviting a crew over to drink some tequila and watch a basketball game.
Okay, no one is drinking tequila as often as she is.
And how is she doing that?
No.
It's a hard drink on the body.
It's a...
It's very different
but to,
than and a wellness.
That's what I was going to say. Doesn't it feel like such a contradiction with the sound baths? Like just a tequila on the rocks off to the side for when it wraps?
Yeah.
Dude.
That also feels like such an LA thing of like staying out all night drinking and then getting an IV and then drinking again the following night. It's like you just...
But does she think tequila has some sort of like innate holistic benefits? Because it's like this is like... Alcohol is famously...
Poison.
Poison.
It's just poison.
But the worst thing you can have for anxiety. Like, yeah. I mean, alcohol and cocaine, they are dancing and doing the splits together in terms of how bad they are for you.
Yeah.
And not that she's dabbling in the bag. But
of course.
No. We would never, ever suggest. But that's kind of the only thing you can do to keep drinking as much as she is also.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And also, does everything need to have a tequila base? Does she need to have the tequila espresso martini? Does she need to have the tequila Cosmo? Does she need to have
tequila
the...
Tequila Cosmo.
She, you know, she did the pasta a la tequila.
Stop.
Some things... That, it was blasphemy.
Whoa.
Leave it to your... To Cinco de Mayo, yeah. Gal.
I know. This profile came out just a few days after.
Do you think it was timed?
No.
To think they were like...
We need a lap next one. On the maker.
The entirely white team at Vogue being like, oh my god, and you know what's perfect? Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Drinko. As it's been called.
I'm gonna pee. I'm gonna actually pee. That is...
If that was a conversation had...
Do you think there's someone...
Citizen's arrest for
sitting
all
in One World Trade right now being stoked that we recognize the peg, the connection of 818 Tequila and Cinco de Mayo?
I hope that that wasn't the case. I hope that that was just a coincidence completely. I pray.
Also, I just love the idea of being like, okay, like, come over to watch the basketball. You, at 4 p.m., you know, come over and, like, let's watch the game. And then me saying, what can I get you, a tequila?
Yeah.
You know?
That's too much.
It's too much.
I'd be like, are you serious?
You're like, I'm reading Joan Didion right now. I can't take a shot.
No. Exactly.
Okay. Back to the profile.
Okay. And then here we go. She says, it's really real to say that not every day is a magical day. Sometimes the reality of life is that you're just chilling. If it's a Sunday and you have nothing to do and no one calls you, let's please enjoy that as well. People think that life has to be these massive moments, and especially with social media, life is presented by a lot of people like that. All these amazing things are happening to me and I'm doing it all. No, she says. This is something I have to remind myself. Not every day is meant to be the party. Some days are meant to be the chill.
It's the chill for me.
This feels ChatGPT. This feels ChatGPT.
Yeah.
This is...
No, I think ChatGPT would do it more.
Yeah.
Like, elaborate job.
Mm-hmm.
The final image is her in a sheer latex dress, lying beside a pool.
Yeah.
Because I think that's symbolic to represent the chill.
Yeah, a place in the sun.
Yeah.
Is the caption.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question really is here is I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Also, the amount of dead air we've had in this episode because we are just processing.
Yeah.
Processing live.
And I haven't even thought twice about it. It's felt completely necessary.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we have dead air because something is going, we're like, oh, like, it's
yeah.
off.
It's
like,
too much. Yeah, there's too much moving parts. It all happening at once. But no, alas, this is just a tough pill to swallow.
Food for thought.
Mm-hmm. That's a more PC way. I should have gone that way.
It's okay. That's okay.
I've already hung myself this entire
That's
episode.
True. That's true. Yeah, it's done for you.
Being like, and who is Rob? Is he gay? Yeah. Dude, okay. Do you know what it is? Not to bring this all the way back around to our inspirations, and incredibly, your Cinco de Mayo connection with your taco making competition also feels very ripe. You could have been on the cover of Vogue, frankly, as You're the right. winner of that
I
taco
know.
Competition. It's the pop culture. This is what I mean when I say that pop culture has fallen out of favor with people, because we're getting this. We're getting dry bread, no margarine crust cut off.
Yes.
And they're serving it as if it is a filet mignon. Ivana, it's just not good enough.
No.
What we need, what we're searching for, what we're craving is the drama, period. The drama of Lana coming in on the motorcycle. The drama of Kendrick calling Drake a pedophile, which we kind of all assumed. We are wanting people to give it to us straight. We want the truth. We want it like how we know it is to be.
Even Anne Hathaway talking about how she is the personality of a vegan, at least it's specific.
And
she's in on the joke.
She's in on the joke and she knows herself and she's like, and I'm fucking sexy. Yeah. And she doesn't have any qualms about saying it.
Yeah.
I'm hitting the mic out of sheer passion.
No, of course.
I just like, this is what I mean. Like we'd be, and do you know what? Another friend said to me, I feel like finally the Kardashians are falling off.
I know.
And this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. Because they've stripped away everything we love them for. They still have their otherworldly beauty. They're totally unattainable beauty. They're still marketed to women in every which way because they're the gold standard. But the total lack of transparency has worn thin. It was cute for a minute. It's worn thin. And also, like, having conversations with plastic surgeons recently for stories, hearing about the impact on their clinics when Kylie came out and said, my lips are done. It was something like a 200% increase in requests for lip fillers. That is their impact.
Yeah.
When they get real. And if they were she could sell, this girl could sell me fucking anything.
Imagine how much more interesting, even if she had just been like, I'm on Prozac.
Yeah.
I take it every day. When I don't take it.
Yes.
I don't shower for 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's like. That alone.
That alone.
Like, oh.
100%. Like, we know that it's not the sound bath.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not getting you into a full panic attack every time you take a flight. Like, it's not the sound bath. Like, it just isn't.
And I understand that everyone, well, that's not true. I was going to say that everyone has a right to privacy.
Yeah.
But I guess. You get to pick and choose what you put out there, obviously, as a celebrity. And they have a lot of power and control because of where they are. Because of Kris Jenner and the deals that she's written up for them. Kylie doesn't have to be on the show if she doesn't want to be. You know, they have a lot of power in the world. But at the same time, you can't make me love them for it.
No.
You can't make me love her.
No.
And you can't make me look at this profile and say, like, oh my God, like, what an emotional...
And you got to think, profiles used to be, like, coming off the back of Ben Affleck and how real and raw candid that was. Now that's a podcast.
Yeah.
Now the headline-making pull-out clips are podcasts. So we're in an era where stuff like this still exists. It's just, like, without the rigmarole, without the pros, whatever. Like, we still get raw celebrity, unseemingly unfiltered
yeah.
responses.
And sometimes it truly is, and sometimes it, you know, Hailey Bieber on Call Her Daddy,
or right. whatever,
where it's like, that was really hard on
social media. She's still not going to talk about that in Vogue. So no. it's like that, we're still getting a level of transparency in that way when they decide that they want to come on. I mean, Camila Cabello just went on Jake Shane's podcast and talked about the fact that she's on Lexapro, something like that. Nice. So it's like that exists for sure.
Yeah.
But like, to be living in like a dual universe where you will be like this closed off in a profile, and then in the same breath there's like your peers are talking about like the Selena drama of it all, it's kind of like do you not like realize like you've missed the boat here, like you're late to the party here. And it doesn't make you any more likable when it's close to the chest, or when you talk about some days of the party, some days of the chill. Like, that's not really radical to me. And maybe yeah. maybe that's the thing. Maybe she, like, doesn't need to be a radical figure.
No.
But
I don't know what it would look like if she tried, you know.
I think it's just also how bloated the quotes are, like, how long the paragraphs are. That it's like, I don't understand, like, are you trying to prove to us that this wasn't an email interview?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the point is? Because there are just huge chunks of text of her saying pretty much like I, when I was a kid, I loved horse riding. Like I also love, like it's almost that because yeah. it's total like stream of conscious free thought that hasn't been edited. I don't know. Maybe there's a fear of being taken out of context. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Like an unwillingness to chop quotes because it could appear as though there's like a manipulation of the. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. That totally, I think, could put. That could be it. I think you might have just cracked it.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
Okay. So then coming off this, how much do you want to interview her?
I kind of want to because I just like want to crack at it.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that maybe I would come away with the same thing.
Do you know what it feels like?
Yeah.
It feels like Exodus, like the is it Exodus? Excalibur, the sword.
Yeah.
It feels like pulling the sword out of stone. Like, give me a crack. I may not do it.
Yeah.
But I have to try.
I have to
try. It's going on Hot Ones. It's like, I don't know how I would fare in the room. But watching it, I think I could maybe do it.
I know. And it's definitely always easier on this side of things, on this little couch here.
I know.
To be like, if I think, well, also though, I'm like, I'm a young woman with anxiety.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're the exact same age.
Yeah. Maybe that could be the thing.
Different tax brackets.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, I think that you could really relate to her.
Yeah. I think so too. Sisters, like you and I have a lot of the things that would be like, listen, I know what it's like to have a sister to.
I just wish that I had a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly nothing against Rob. I think he writes beautifully.
Yeah.
He probably is a great interviewer too.
Yeah.
I just like wish like some of these girls, like you've just actually got to have a woman. It's got to be like the girls' room.
I know.
There's always a barrier that's up around men. Like, you could never be that authentic.
Especially, like, an esteemed, like, Vogue cover writer. It's like, you're not getting loose.
No.
You're not going to get loose, I don't think.
And I think this is, for the most part, like, her attempt at getting loose.
Yeah.
But she ends up repeating things she said on podcasts, in clips, just everywhere. I mean, she talks about how she has a photo of her younger self on the mirror, and she like speaks to her younger self the way that she'd want to be spoken to. She said that on Jay Shetty's podcast. Like, there's always like, I mean, it's clear that there are only a few topics available, but even so, it's like there's just nothing really new here to sink your teeth into. The greatest thing was the advice that she got from an unnamed person, which is like, anxiety can't exist in gratitude or whatever.
I know. Yeah, it's like, and I feel like I would come to her with a list of questions that would be so chaotic of like, do you believe in God? And like, just see where it takes us.
I mean, for the record, she would have to say yes, because they have that tax break of a church.
Right.
So you like really have to cover your bases with everything. I want to be like, how did it feel for Tupac Shakur's estate, someone who you once called your spirit animal, to absolutely turn on you in this way? How was that for you?
Yeah.
Like, I just like that stuff is so interesting. Like the acknowledging of the mistakes, the learning, the growth.
I agree. The youth.
Yeah.
Where's your friend group? The girls that you filmed this music video with, where are they now?
Yeah.
Do you still talk to them? What happened? Yeah. I know.
How crazy that you would film a lyric video for an artist that would go on to have a 10-year feud with your older sister.
Yeah. Who could have seen any of this coming? It is. I think that with her, hopefully age will open up this clamshell.
Yeah.
Like, Kendall Jenner at 47 will be an interesting figure.
Yeah. Maybe she'll be like a let it all hang out, Diane Keaton type. Yeah. I don't know.
Of like, Jane I'm Fonda. Actually going to share all my sister's secrets too.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't think she would be the one. I think Kylie would be the one to be like, I'm going to tell everything how it happened. Like,
I hope that one of them does a memoir.
I pray.
I think it has to happen. I feel like the money is going to run out at some point. This is a dark prediction, but with this real palpable shift that I think we're experiencing, and I think like the failed businesses that we've just seen Kylie undergo with Kai, and we don't want to say failed, but
yeah.
Kylie Swim obviously didn't work out. Kylie Baby also.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kai, I'm not sure how it's faring. Sprinter, couldn't tell you. Too soon to tell. But it's like, something's not clicking the way that it used to. Their reign is loosening on the culture. And I just feel like, there's...
Do you think there'll ever be, like, a fictionalized, like, Kardashian movie?
Oh, for sure.
Like the Fabelmans?
I mean, Chris will... The minute that Chris, like, retires, like, puts down the MacBook Pro...
Yeah.
Everything's gonna... take a turn she is like driving that ship, but she's also 70 years old. So it's like, how long can you keep going at that pace?
I really don't know.
Because they'd have to appoint a CEO. Like they'd have to appoint a new person. And I do think that Kim may take a stab at the presidential run.
I agree. Yeah. It will be, you know, sort of the succession of the modern age.
Yeah.
She is our Kendall. Prime from the beginning, but I think Kylie would be the one to unseat her, if anyone.
Oh,
like it could be a thing. I'm like, what does the will look like?
Oh yeah, I think Kylie will be the signifier of where it's all gonna go.
Yeah,
she's the one that people are being like, it feels like it's slipping.
Our canary in the mine.
Yeah,
and here we are talking about death, just as Kendall foretold. The mind goes there.
It always comes back to it, doesn't it?
I know.
Next week we'll be back and who knows what we'll be reading.
I know. Something fun.
And hopefully when someone's getting a little bit more real.
I know. That'll be our little goal.
I love you.
Love you.
See you next week.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.